I might be slightly biased, but that was some good worship this morning, wasn't it? These guys are just, I'm so blessed. I don't get the opportunity to say it enough to have these guys. They are faithful. They're here every Sunday morning, hours before you guys are, practicing. And their faithfulness sometimes, you know, being a leader, sometimes I get all the compliments and they don't. So for Lori, Janice, Russ, my dad, Rich, Kevin, just take a moment and give them an applause. And Joshua. Can't forget Joshua. Joe wanted me to give a couple of announcements this morning. Actually, I'll let Rich go first. Rich, you got one. Go ahead, buddy. The other announcements that Joe wanted me to give were, one, the Habitat for Humanity outreach that they're serving, and it's from September 19th through the 26th. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, and if you don't know what's going on, a group of churches, Independence, they've selected some of a few houses around in the city of Independence, and they're asking volunteers to go and just work on those houses. So the hours, I believe, they're all during the day. So if you have time during the day, they're needing 6 to 8 volunteers a day. So, and if it's something you're willing to do, the sign-up sheets are out there. And then the last thing I think he wanted me to say is just remember that Kamal is going to be here on September 20th. Amen? Well, yeah, Sunday, September 20th. Sunday, September 20th. This morning, I'm going to take just a little time. I'm going to be brief. I promised Joe I would go about 30 minutes, so, you know, that's going to be a stretch. So, hey, will you give me that PowerPoint, Rich? There we go. So I always start off with something, whether it's a story or something. So put your hand down, Jackson. I'm going to give you a little riddle this morning. If you've heard this before, you're eliminated. Don't shout out. I want an answer by raised hand, okay? I'm guessing Crystal's heard this before. Okay, there are 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? How many didn't? What do you mean didn't what? It said there are 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? What do you mean didn't what? There's 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? My kids are biting at the bullet over there. No, wrong. No, wrong. Huh? No, wrong. I saw Rich back there with two, too. There's a prize in it for somebody. Who's got the answer? Bill? Bill, what's the answer? Bill, what's the answer? Say it. 10. Anybody get that? Here's Bill's gift card. Okay. Now I'm going to show it to you. There are 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. So there's 10. How many didn't eat the chickens? So there's 10, right?
I didn't know the cows did that.
Scott, that's exactly what my daughter said. She said the same thing. She said, that's not fair. They don't. I generally have a point whenever I tell a story, and my wife's giving me a hard time because I really wanted to tie that in. So this may be a little stretch, but it's not. A lot of times we hear something over and over and over again, and it's not till we actually sit and we take the time to really look at it or somebody shows it to us. What's funny is I showed that. It was on Facebook. I'm sure that's where some people saw it. But I showed that to my family because I just thought it was really pretty cute. And I love my nephew, Jackson, so I get to rat him out here. So we're sitting there, and I'm trying to explain it, and he's saying, yeah, I get it. And I've shown it, I've done the fingers, I said, here's 30 cows, 20, and then there's 10. I'm trying to show it to him, and I could still just see in his face that he still just didn't quite get it. And I was going to try writing it down, and it was bedtime, so he went to bed. And then the next day, later in the evening, all of a sudden, from downstairs, I hear this exclamation. I get it! I get it! I finally get it! Sometimes it takes a different perspective on something that we see and we've heard all the time. So this morning, I'm gonna tell you a story. And I know you've heard this same story over and over. The story of David and Goliath. And I think the last time I taught on David. If you can remember, I taught about how David was faithful in the pen and how he grew in relationship in the pen. That he grew in knowledge and wisdom. But that's where he fell in love with the Lord. And today I'm going to continue on David. I want to pick up the story of David where it's, if you go to 1 Samuel 17, I am going to read a little bit. But the story of David as after his anointing, he's been gone straight back to the pen. He's been faithful doing what he was called to do in the pen, caring for sheep. He's gaining experience and he's gaining knowledge. And he's growing in maturity and relationship with the Lord. But then if you look, a lot of times we overlook just before we jump from David being anointing to David hitting the story of Goliath. But in between there, we see where the story of Saul, where Saul had the tormented spirit and David was a fine musician. He had made that craft as he was in the pen, and he had practiced it. And we see where David goes to Saul, and he plays, and Saul is comforted. But the part that I've always kind of missed is right after that, where it talks about that David attended to Saul. He started to become in a relationship with Saul, and it says that he went back and forth between Saul and the pen. And he played for him. Later, he became his armor bearer. And it also says that Saul grew to love David. I mean, he was one of his own. So the part of the story I want to pick up on is where the Philistine army is gathered in the Oak Valley. We've got this, the Philistines on the left and the Israelites on the right. And they've been there. We hear the story of Goliath, how he's been coming out and challenging. And we see Jesse asking his son David to take some food to his brothers. And that's where the story that I want to pick up on. In 1 Samuel, if we start in 24, I'm going to read from the message. And I'm going to read for a little bit here. So just indulge me because I won't make my 30 minutes if we don't read this. So verse 24, the Israelites fell back at the moment they saw Goliath, totally frightened. The talk among the troops was, have you ever seen anything like this? This man openly and defiantly challenging Israel. The man who kills the giant will have it made. The king will give him a huge reward, offer his daughter as a bride, and give his entire family a free ride. David, who was talking to the men standing around him, asked, "What's in it for the man who kills that Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honor? Who does he think he is anyway, this uncircumcised Philistine taunting the armies of God?" They told him what everyone was saying about what the king would do for the man who killed the Philistine. Eliab, his older brother, heard David talking with the men and lost his temper. He said, "What are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business, tending to that flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a bloody battle." "What is it with you?" David replied. "All I did was ask a question." Ignoring his brother, he turned to someone else and asked the same question. The things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. Saul sent for him. "Master," said David, "don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine." And Saul answered, "David, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born." David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And all I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of the living God. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine." Saul said, "Go and God help you." Then Saul outfitted David as a soldier in his army. He put his bronze helmet on his head and belted his sword on him over the armor. David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. David told Saul, "I can't even move with all this stuff on me. I'm not used to this." And he took it all off. Then David took his shepherd's staff and selected 5 smooth stones from the brook. And this is the part where I want to emphasize on and that I want to talk about. I want to use the analogy of why did David take 5 stones? Yes, we have giants. We face giants all the time. So that if I had to title this, I'm going to title it 5 Smooth Stones to Success. So why did David pick up 5 stones? Why was it not just 1? Grace, you think? If you hear some theories, they say he picked up 5 because Goliath had 4 brothers. I don't really see that in Scripture anywhere. I see where they talk about that Goliath had 2 brothers and there was 2 other giants. And somebody's reaching for that. It really doesn't matter, except for, I believe he picked up the 5 stones because David was a man of preparation. We all have giants. We have giant bills, giant relationship problems, giant workplace problems, giant illness, giant addiction, giant sin. And just like Goliath threatening to enslave the people of Israel, our giants are threatening to enslave us. So David being a man after God's own heart and the successes that he had and even the failures that he had, I look a lot at David. And I think that this story is bigger than just little David through God's grace and power beating Goliath. I think that there's some real keys here, or stones, that I want to talk about. The first one, what happens when we immediately face a giant? What's the first thing that comes up when you get a situation that comes up? What? Fear, naturally. Like in verse 24, you see where the Israelites were. They said that they ran away in fear. They were hopeless. And that's what, I don't know about you, but that's what tends to happen to me. I get, a giant comes in, and that first thought of fear creeps in. So the first stone that I would say would be courage. The first key would be courage. The definition of courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face a difficulty or danger or pain in spite of fear. So courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is the ability to move past the fear. I think that there's two types of courage. There's the courage to speak and the courage to move. If you look at what David said in himself, he had to look and go, who is this Philistine that's challenging the armies of the living God? I'm sure that there was fear there. A lot of times, you know, that's where the Bible talks about take every thought captive. You know, my sister, I saw, and I'm going to watch her pop her eyes up if she's listening to me. Let's see. Oh, there she is. My sister posted something on Facebook just the other day that I thought was pretty relative. She was talking about how after spending 5 months suffering with meningitis, that she's able to go back to work. Amen? Thank God. But she said very openly in her Facebook post that there were some things that crept up. There was that fear. There was anxiety. There was worry. And so the first step of courage is to say, just exactly like what she did. She'd been working with Brenda, and Brenda had taught her to take that thought captive and to say, what's the opposite of worry or fear? It's trust. And so she took the courage to say, I'm going to speak truth to myself. Amen? Sometimes the courage is speaking truth to others. That when everyone there, the other Israelites, were going, they were running away in fear, David spoke to them and he said, who's going to stand up? Who is this guy that he's challenging the army of the living God? The one thing that happens whenever we speak truth to people, if you look in Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to truth. Does that give us the out not to speak truth? No. But we also have to be careful to speak truth in love. But that there's going to, your first instinct, 9 times out of 10, truth is going to be faced with rejection, because that's the world that we live in. And that's what happened to David. When David spoke up, who came at him? His brother. His brother said, what are you doing here? Mind your own business. This has nothing to do with you. The next stone that I would say, and this, some may not get this, and it's something that God just kind of showed me, and it's something I've dealt with in my past strongly, is David was accountable to authority. Did David say, this Philistine, nobody's going to take him, I'm going to take him, and he just headed right out onto the battlefield to take him? No. He got called before Saul, who was his authority. We look at Saul and David, they were living life together. David was going back and forth attending to Saul, and Saul had grown to love him, and David had grown to love Saul. And there was trust there. So when Saul came before David, we see in verse 31. And I think actually what was going to happen was David's out there talking trash in the camp. And Saul says, bring David in. He's got to stop that. He's going to get killed out there. Somebody's going to grab him up and beat the tar out of him for running his mouth. And Saul, as soon as he gets before Saul, he says, Master, don't give up hope. I'm ready to fight this Philistine. Now, what would have happened if Saul had stayed the course and said, David, you're not going to go fight the Philistine? Even though David had felt like he had heard the voice of the Lord, that this Philistine was going to be delivered into my hand, whenever we are in accountable authority, we're accountable to the authority in our lives, we have to trust that person. That person is somebody that we've been living life with, that we know loves us and has our best interest. I can think of a time just a couple of months ago where I had really felt God telling me something specifically. And it was a pretty difficult decision. And I had talked with my wife about it. And I had set up a meeting with Joe. And this part of me rose up like, what am I going to do if I go to Joe and I tell him this is what I'm hearing God say? And he says, Matt, no, that's not right. I believe that David had already made a decision to be accountable to his authority. If Saul had said, no, you're not going to do this, regardless of what David had said or thought that he had heard God say, David would have honored the authority and he wouldn't have gone out and fought Goliath. Just like whenever I talked to Joe, if Joe had told me, Matt, I don't believe you're hearing God clearly here, regardless of what I thought I had heard from the Lord, honoring that authority means honoring God. And even if the authority gets it wrong, our God is big enough that he's going to make sure that you are where you're supposed to be. He'll speak to that authority. He'll confirm it with the authority. But here we see where David, he told Saul that I can handle this. I can do it. The third stone is confident humility. And this was a tough one for me to learn as well. When David came before, and it sounds like an oxymoron, confident humility. And I probably hammer my son and my daughter and my nephew about humility like crazy. Because it was something that I suffered greatly and still have challenges with now. But he was able to come before Saul, and Saul's initial reaction was, David, you can't do this. But David was, he had the confidence to say to Saul, this is what I've done. I've gone and defeated the lion. I've defeated the bear. And I believe whenever David said, and just as God delivered me from them, God's going to deliver this Philistine into my hand this very day. That Saul had confirmation from the Holy Spirit. Because if you were Saul and you were standing there and you're seeing this 15, 16-year-old kid saying he's going to go out and defeat this 10-foot giant, he's already sent a messenger to start carving David's headstone. You know? But what he says is go and God be with you. Because Saul had confirmation that the anointing was on David to complete the task. The next part of humility that you see in David is after that, what's the very next thing that happens? Does David go out and beat the Philistine? That's not the first thing that happens. The first thing that happens is Saul says, come here, David. If you're going to go do this, I'm going to put my armor on you. I'm going to put this sword in your hand. I'm going to make you look like a warrior. The humility was that sometimes, even though we think we know the best path, we think that we have it all together, that we know the answer, that we have to have the humility that when we go to our authority and our authority says, try it this way. A lot of times our initial response is to say, I don't need that. No, I got it all together. I got my sling in my pouch. I'm good to go. I appreciate it, but I don't need it. But David was humble enough to say, let me try it on. Let me see if this is going to work for me. And just because the authority in your life says to you, try this on, it doesn't mean it's going to work. But you have a responsibility to be humble enough to say, I'll try it on. That's that confident humility that I'm talking about. The fourth stone, I believe, is preparation. And this is one that I believe was probably the most important. If you look at the story, David's preparation started even before he left to go take the food to his brothers. If you look in there, it says, David, having found someone to attend for his flock. You know, this is a 15-year-old kid. I don't know about any of the parents in the room that have teenagers, but I have a tough time getting to get my kids to remember to take the trash out on Fridays, much less preparing somebody else to attend to their duties for them if they're going to be absent. But David did that. David came to the battlefield prepared. You don't see in the story, he was just taking his food to his brothers. You don't see where David had to go back to get his sling, to get his pouch, or to get his staff. David came prepared. The only thing David lacked was his ammo. And David knew what good ammo was. I mean, they're in the middle of a valley or a field. He could have picked up just some rocks and said, okay. But David knew what good ammo was because he had been in the battle before. He knew that the best ammo was the stones from the brook, that the brook had made smooth, that the smooth stone was more accurate. It would go further and faster. So, what are our weapons? What are our ammo? Somebody? Prayer. Our armor. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Psalm says, thy word have I hid in my heart. So when we're taking those thoughts captives and we have worry and anxious, we say, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Amen. So when David picked up the stones, why did David take five? Was he not trusting God to say, God, I believe you're going to deliver the hand of this Philistine? Why did he need a stone at all? Why didn't he just go out on the battlefield and expect God to just strike Goliath dead? Just because God promises you something doesn't mean that you're allowed not to prepare yourself for it. It would be like my wife, she's in school and she studies a lot. And it would be like us deciding we're going to take an exam and never study for it and trust that God's going to give us an A. But a lot of times we face giants in our life, whether they're marital problems or relationship problems, and we stand on that scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we use that as an excuse to not grow up, to not use keys that the Lord's already given you. We say, well, I've got this financial problem. I've got a bill. I got to pay it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, maybe you should get a job. Maybe you should, you know, look for a job. It would be like not having a job. Rich, you shared with us this morning that your employment comes to end. Are you going to sit at home and just expect the phone to ring?
I've been working for a week to get a job.
Exactly. But a lot of times we face our problems and we say, how great is our God? My God is greater than all these problems. And we're expecting God just to solve it for us when he's already given you tools and keys to get to the promise. Healing from sickness. There's some schools of faith that will say, you know, there's some faiths out there that you don't seek medical attention, that that's not trusting God for healing. And you'll see people that will sit there and die from a disease when there's a cure for it. God's promised healing, but sometimes that promise, we need to prepare and move with what God's given us, whether it's antibiotics or medicine. Now, don't get me wrong, there is times whenever God says, I only need one stone this time. I only need one stone. But our response should be faithfulness to use everything in our arsenal that God's given us. Amen? The fifth stone that I think David had was the belief in the promise. David picked up five stones, but he only needed one. But he prepared with courage. He moved when no one else would move. You know, I used to have a pastor that said, it's hard to steer a parked car. Pretty self-explanatory, right? It's a good visual picture of, but a lot of times we're sitting here and we're going, there's the giant, there's the problem. God's going to solve that for me, but I'm not going anywhere. When God's saying, I've given you a direction, I've already given you tools and keys, move. Have the courage to move. A lot of times our problem is so intimidating that we let fear and depression and anxiety and worry come in and cripple us from the courage to move. And I've experienced that myself. Like, I'll tell you, everybody knows that I do fireworks. And it's my big money maker for my family for the year. And this year's fireworks was really, it was a pretty decent year. It really was. Even with all the storms and the tornadoes and all that, God was faithful to protect me, even though I spent time holding down tents. Isn't that right? Richard and I are holding down a tent in Independence, just he and I. Poles flying everywhere, stakes everywhere. God was faithful. And I get to the end of fireworks, and I'm finishing up my bills, and I'm getting ready to pay people, and it comes out that I'm missing this huge chunk of money. 30% of my gross sales gone. Just gone. And I'm like, something's not right. And I go to figure it out. And it turned out that I had a paperwork error and that the government came in and they swiped 30% of my credit cards. And they're holding it. And I'm sitting there just crippled in fear. Going, this is thousands and thousands of dollars. How am I going to survive? How am I going to pay the people that worked for me? How am I going to move? And I'll be honest, there's a couple of days I didn't move. I did not move. I was crippled by fear. And I had some people around me that encouraged me. Isn't that kind of cool how that word encourage? That when you speak life into other people, you're spreading courage into their life. So I had some people that encouraged me, just move. It's going to be okay. Just move. I had accountability. I went to my accountability and I said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. and I got some advice. And I had some things planned. I had some promises that I felt like God had told me to do. One of which was to lease this new building for my business. And I'm sitting here going, I haven't signed the lease yet. But I felt like I had heard God clearly tell me to do this. And so I'm at my authority going, I want to run away. I don't want to sign this lease. I don't think I can afford it. I don't think I can do it. And my authority looked at me and he said, do you believe that God told you that? And I said, well, I've never had a dream. And I had a dream that this was what I was supposed to do, that this was the amount that it was going to be a month. And he said, well, then you need to move. When I really wanted my authority to go, I wouldn't sign that either. I wouldn't do that. But I have confidence that the God who's delivered me from the lion and the bear is going to bring me through. But that doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to do the necessary preparation. That doesn't mean that I'm not, as a business owner, that I can sit on my laurels and just expect money to come in. I have to be faithful with the tools, the skills that God's given me to do. That doesn't mean I don't believe in the promise. Just because David picked up 5 stones did not mean that God did not believe, or that David did not believe that God was going to take care of it in one. David answered to the Philistine. He said, you come at me with sword and spear and axe. I come at you in the name of the God of angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistines' buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. David had belief in the promise, and he was focused on the promise. But he did have these 5 keys that he used. So this morning, I just want to encourage you that if you're facing a giant in your life, to do the things that God's showing you to do. Have the courage to move. Be accountable. Who are you living life with? Who's the person that you go and talk to about the giants in your land? Be confident that the God who's delivered you from the lion and the bear will deliver you from whatever this giant is. Amen. Have the humility to listen when others give advice and to try. Be prepared in all that you do. Gird your loins with the word of truth. Your mouth with the sword of the Spirit. So when those thoughts come, you can take them captive and you can speak truth over them. Amen. And lastly, believe in the promise that God has for you. Amen? Amen. That's all I got, guys. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.